Okay, sorry about the delay there. So, I'm just going to say a few words about power control, namely to point out that... could somebody in the back shut the door, please? Thanks. Namely, just to point out that it's not quite as easy as what we've been assuming, which is just everybody transmits at the same power, and that's that. We will then, again, look at the overall capacity of cellular systems, and then either today or tomorrow, depending on how time is getting on, we'll look at tricks to increase cell capacity. Okay, so power management refers to the decision as to what power to transmit a signal at, and again, there's two entities transmitting. There's the power station or the base station, and there's the mobile unit. Okay, and so they both need to determine what level to transmit at. Okay. And again, the uplink direction is from mobile station to base unit, downlink from base station to mobile unit. Okay. And as we've observed, we have to transmit at a level sufficient to overcome background noise. And we should also try to minimize the level at which we transmit to reduce on interference in the channel, or co-channel interference, and if you're the mobile unit, save battery power. Okay. Additionally, in CDMA systems, it's desirable to equalize the received power from all the mobile units to the base station. Okay, so if one signal is very strong and the other is weak, the weak one is not going to be distinguishable by the base station. So the goal is to get all of the power at the base at the receiver to be the same for all units. Okay, so there's two ways of going about that. And this refers to the power decision for the mobile units. You can have open loop control or closed loop. And so in open loop, the decision is made by the mobile unit, sort of based on whatever information it has. In closed loop, it's made by the base station based on performance metrics. Okay. And open loop is particularly useful, again, in CDMA, where what we want is to even out the power received by the base station, and so a technique called channel inversion can be used. And the idea here is that the base station transmits transmits a control signal, and the mobile station can measure the power level at which that signal is received. And so this is essentially a measure of, well, what the power level, this is essentially equivalent to what the power level the base station will receive from you, okay? So if the mobile unit receives a weak signal from the base station, it can assume that, well, it's far away, or it can assume that, you know, the power is decreasing rapidly, therefore it has to transmit a stronger signal. And vice versa, if it receives a good signal, it knows it's close up, there are no problems, it'll transmit a weaker signal. Okay. And again, that serves to even out what the base station receives from the mobile units, and sort of hence allows the base station to sort out all of the different channels that it's receiving. Okay. Closed loop power control is done, the decision is made at the base station. So the base station gets information from the mobile units about sort of their signal strength, noise ratio, etc., and makes a decision, sort of a global decision about what they're, you know, and tells them what power level they should be transmitting at. Okay, and so as we've already said, power control is particularly an issue for CDMA systems, where, again, the base station is going to have to decode a number of signals using the same channels, and you sort of, if one signal is much stronger than the other, then it's going to provide a lot of interference for the second signal. Okay, and again, the way to deal with this problem is to use channel inversion to try and even out the power levels of the received signals. Okay. One drawback of this technique is that that sort of works if you consider within a single cell, but when you're increasing your transmission power, you're also increasing the interference in adjacent cells as well. And to deal with sort of a more global power allocation decision, well, again, it would probably be based on decisions made centrally at base stations, but it's a complicated optimization problem. Okay. So, again, just things aren't quite as straightforward as we've assumed in our simple picture. So, our next topic is traffic engineering, and traffic engineering has been around for ages. It's the basic techniques were originally applied to your basic telephony networks, your wired telephony networks, and we're going to sort of have a brief overview of the main technique, which is the Erlang's theory of capacity analysis. Again, we're not going to look at it terribly mathematically. We're not going to derive it or anything. Those of you who have either done 509 or plan to do it next year will sort of see where it comes from next year. What we're going to do here is just apply it to our specific setup and see how it applies. Okay, so in a cellular system, the capacity of a cell, and sort of hence the system, is the number of channels that's assigned to it. And this is, at the moment, a fixed number. Again, when we look at tricks, we'll be seeing that it doesn't have to be fixed. But it's some finite number, and clearly this number is less than the overall number of users for any network. Okay. But we know, obviously, that not every user is using the network at the same time. So everybody in this room has a mobile. Hopefully, nobody is actually on it at the moment. So, you don't need to have a channel per sort of owner of mobile device. What you need to know is something about the pattern by which they use the network. How often do they use the network? For how long do they stay on? Okay. And so this is going to be some fraction of the day each user is on. It's going to vary from user to user. But we need globally to sort of have some assessment of how the users are using the network. Okay. And so then we need, based on this sort of rule of thumb about how many people are on, then we need to decide how many channels we need. So, if you say that at any time, on average, 10 people are on, just to pick a totally unrealistic number, then you could say, let's have 10 channels. Now, the problem with this is that's an average, so anytime 11 people are on or 12 people want to be on, then they won't be accommodated. So you need more. You probably need more channels than this average. The question is, how many do you need? However many you put in, probably there's going to be some probability that at some point more people than that want to use the network. But what you want to do is get that number of times that somebody wants to use the network and can't down to some small number. Okay. Now, Erlang came up with a theory that related these factors, the average use or the use pattern of the users, the number of channels, and the probability of loss or the probability that a channel wouldn't be available. Okay. And so he developed this for the sort of standard telephony system. And we are going to now apply it to cellular systems. And people do apply it to cellular systems. It's tricky in the cellular domain because you now have mobility. People are not just sort of requesting a connection and using it, they're also changing their connections midway through, and so it does make it a slightly, more than slightly more complex problem. But nevertheless, we're going to look at our simple solution. Okay. So the first thing, again, that we need to have some idea about is sort of what's the behavior of the users? How are they using the system? Okay, and sort of on average, how are they going to require service out of the system? So our first factor is traffic intensity. And the unit of traffic intensity is Erlangs. And one interpretation of an Erlang is that one Erlang indicates there would be one request for a connection over the duration of a call. Okay, so you think the calls have an average length, and while one call is going on, one more would be requested. So that if you think about it, if they arranged themselves nicely, that would mean that the system was sort of always busy. Okay. This has an implication for the system. It gives not only a measure of how the users want to use the system, so they're making calls of a certain duration, and they're making them at a certain rate, and the error log is a combination of those two ideas. It also corresponds to the busyness of your system. So it's the average number of busy channels in your system as well. Okay. And again, you can think, well, every time a call is requested, ideally you're serving it so a channel becomes busy. Okay. And then we have our number two here, the ratio between the sum of busy times of a channel to the observation time. That essentially gives us a way of measuring our traffic intensity. So if we want to measure it, if we want to observe it, that says if we just take it over a certain period of time, then that gives us our average. Okay, so just to throw a little mathematical shape on it, we have our parameters lambda, which is the rate at which we calls are requested. H is the duration or holding time of successful calls. And just by definition, our traffic intensity is A equals lambda H. And again, this is Little's law as well. Okay. And so we can prove that if using Little's law and jigging things around, we can prove that our traffic intensity is also equal to the busyness of the average number of channels that are busy. So rho gives us a measure of how often our network overall is busy, and then n is the number of channels, so that on average gives you the number of channels that are in use. So, looking at an example, we can determine that we have a certain calling rate, in this case 20 calls per minute, and each call is an average holding time of 3 minutes. And that means that during the duration of of one call, 3 minutes long, we're going to have, on average, 60 requests. Okay, and so the question then becomes, again, what capacity should we, how many channels should we aim for in our system? Well, you can think you'd need at least 60, because if that's the average, you're going to need at least that. You could do well more than that. But if you do, then what you're going to do is you're going to decrease your system utilization. So there's a cost involved in providing the resources that are not being overly used. Okay. So you need some number probably in between 60 and 120. Our Erlang's formula is going to allow us to examine the trade-off of all these numbers. Okay, so it's going to allow us to decide, given a traffic intensity and a number of channels, what's the probability of loss? And so you can either fix your probability of loss and decide how many channels you need, or you can fix your number of channels and decide how much loss you're going to get. Okay. So again, the actual load in a system is going to vary according to time of day, time of the month, time of the week, and what you typically provision for is you define a busiest period and you take the average within that busiest period. Okay. So for wired systems, there's a busy hour and you look at that busy hour. Okay. So we observe some network usage. We might try to predict future network usage. But somehow we arrive at a factor for our intensity. And then we have a number of channels to deal with that capacity. The number of channels is less than the number of subscribers, so less than the potential number of users. And so trunking is the term that's used to refer to giving less channels than you have users. Okay. Now, in a radio system, it's worth keeping in mind that you need an uplink and a downlink channel. So you actually need two channels for any connection to be made. Okay. Since we have less channels or to allocate than we have potential users, we have a probability of blocking, so we have a probability that channels will not be available to a user when they want them. Now, there's a number of ways that a system can deal with that. It can sort of queue up the users and say, well, wait, and maybe a channel will be available later on. Think of a call center where you get put on hold and you start hearing music. The idea is that you'll be waiting, but eventually you'll get your connection. Or you just don't get connected, so in which case the connection is said to be lost. Okay. It's the second system, or the loss systems, that we'll assume represent our systems. So if you get a busy signal, you don't hang around waiting for the channel to become available, you just hang up. Okay. Either of these signals can be dealt with theoretically using Erlang's formulas. There's a model for loss systems and a model for queuing systems, or lost call held systems. Those are the Erlang B and C models, and we deal with the Erlang B. Okay. So, grade of service is another term for the probability of loss. And so, and again, it gives a measure of the level of access during the busy period. Obviously, the probability of loss is dependent on the traffic intensity. So what we're worried about is the worst case traffic intensity and provisioning for that worst case. Okay. And typically, if you have a mobile system, your goal is to provide a specific grade of service. Okay, so what the Erlang B formula does is it relates the three factors, the traffic intensity, the number of channels you have availability, and your grade of service or your probability of loss. And I've put the formula there, but we're not going to use it at all. Okay. Now, we're not going to use the formula, but we're going to use the results. These values, the relationship between these is usually sort of it's wrapped up in one of three forms. You can have a table, you can have a graph, or you can actually there are calculators, so you can analytically calculate this and plug it into a program and out pops a number. Okay, but what you're going to do is you're going to have two of these values, and you're going to be seeking to see what the third one is. Okay. Mathematically, there are a bunch of assumptions that have to be made about the setup of the system. We assume that the arrival process and the service process, or in this case, the calling durations, are Poisson distributed. That we have a finite number of channels and an infinite number of subscribers. So again, for our purposes, we don't really care. That's just what you would need. You know, that would be your starting point if you were going to prove this. Okay. So typically, we have to know two of the values and then calculate the third one. So if you know the traffic intensity and the number of trunks, you can calculate what grade of service you're going to get. If you have a target grade of service and know your traffic intensity, you can try and figure out how many channels you need to serve that. And or if you know the number of trunks and you have a target grade of service, you can decide what your maximum capacity is, but usually that's not the value you're going to be able to control. You can try and see if your system is sufficient for a certain capacity, but you can't really control it. Okay. So, in the lecture, we'll look at plots and see how it's mapped out. It's a good way of getting a feel for it. In some of the tutorial problems when I post them, you can calculate it off of tables. Okay, so plots give you curves, essentially. So you have a certain number of channels or trunks, that's our value n, and for each value of n you have a plot of the traffic intensity versus the probability of blocking. So this leftmost line is two channels, and again you get the traffic intensity versus probability of blocking. Okay, so this allows us to make a few immediate observations about cellular systems. The first is that a large capacity system, so a system with more channels, is more efficient at giving grade of service than a system with a smaller number of channels. And so what we mean by this is that if we sort of cover an area with sort of a number of cells and a fixed number of channels, then the more you sort of subdivide that area and hence subdivide the channels, sort of the more difficult it is going to be to achieve a specific grade of service. Okay. And so if we look at our example here, we have either two cells with 10 channels each or one cell with 20 channels. And this should be the same grade of service, obviously, which is it? And so in both cases, the grade of service should be 0.002. So the second grade of service here should be 0.002. And what we see is that for the same grade of service, so for the same probability of loss, the system with sort of more channels ends up with a higher traffic intensity. Okay. And this shouldn't be, and if we look at, again, what we're actually looking up, so here's our 10 channels gives us a traffic intensity of 3.4, and since we have two cells, that gives us our 6.8. So what we intuitively think is that, well, that's not too surprising, because if you think about the users, unless they sort of divide themselves evenly across the system, if they're all in one of the smaller cells and not the other, then you're wasting the channels in the second cell. Okay. Large capacity systems are more sensitive to increases in traffic, and this is as a percentage basis, so not as sort of raw numbers, but as those numbers translate into a percentage of the overall number of users. Okay. And so here we see that our smaller cells require a greater percentage increase in traffic to reduce the grade of service to a certain level. And than our larger cells do. Okay. Okay. So we can also use the Erlang's theory or formula to determine capacity in a cellular system. And so we'll just go quickly through an example of that. Okay. And in this case, we've sort of decided on the basic layout of our cells. So we're going to have 7 cell clusters. We know the size of each cell, therefore the size of the cluster, and how many cells we're going to need then to cover the area of the city. Okay. We also know sort of how many channels we will have available to us. We have a total system bandwidth and then a single channel system bandwidth. Okay. And we have a target grade of service, and we have behavior. We have some knowledge of the behavior of the users. We know how frequently users make calls, and we know how long the calls last. So in this case, we're going to ask the question, well, how many users can we accommodate in the system? Okay. So again, there's a number of things we can calculate. Again, we've laid out our system already, so we should be able to find out how many cells we need to cover the city. We know how many we can calculate how many channels we have available. We know how the users behave, so we have a target rate of service, so that's going to give us a target traffic intensity. And that can be done either on a per cell or a system-wide basis. And that can also be compared to, again, the number of channels that you can allocate throughout the system. Okay, so again, we can calculate the area of each cell. And so dividing the total area of the city by the area of a cell gives us the number of cells we need. And again, so in this case that's about 36 cells. We divide the total bandwidth by the channel bandwidth, and again, we require 2 channels for each connection, so the connection bandwidth is twice the individual channel bandwidth. And then we can split the number of channels between the 7 cells in our clusters. So we have the number of channels per cell, and we have a grade of service. And using Erlang, then, we can find the traffic intensity. Okay. So in this case, each cell can handle a traffic intensity of 17 Erlangs. Okay. So there's more than one cell in the system. So the total traffic intensity of the system is the intensity for a single cell times the number of cells we have available. Naturally, this is assuming that your users are going to behave themselves and spread out evenly across the city. Okay. So we also know how much capacity of the system each user requires. So there's a traffic intensity associated with each user. So each user makes 2 calls on average, 2 calls per hour. And each call has a duration of 54 seconds, and regularizing between hours and seconds, you get this term of 3,600. And so each user needs about 0.03 aerolungs of the system capacity. Okay. And so that gives, again, assuming that the users are going to spread themselves out nicely and behave themselves, the system should be able to accommodate over 21,000 of them. Okay. Now, if we look at the channels available in the system, well, we have let's see where that comes. 25. Okay, we have 25 channels per cell, and then times the number of cells per cluster. So we have a total of 175 channels. And this means that the users per channel are about 120. Okay. And so if you then spread that out over the number of cells you have, you can have up to 900. You'll have 900 simultaneous calls. You have the ability to make 900 simultaneous calls. Okay. Now, again, if everybody wanted to make the call at the same time, that would be pretty sad. Only about 4% of them would get to make that call. But since actually calls each user is only sort of infrequently using the system, we have a much better ability to sort of, or we don't need to provide a channel per user. Okay, so we have a last topic of increasing capacity, but instead of talking really, really fast, I will defer that to the beginning of next lecture. Following on from that, we'll examine how sort of real-life cellular systems operate. Okay, and so we'll start with sort of GSM as the most ubiquitous and move on to sort of what improvements there are on that setup. Okay, so I'll see you guys next Thursday.